Moncrief on News Talk.
There's long been an issue about the underrepresentation of girls studying STEM subjects and, by extension, working in those areas. There's a lack of gender balance in many other industries. But while we hear about efforts to combat this, such as more women on boards, are we looking at the wrong problem? This is what the energy economist Muireann Lynch has been arguing in the Irish Times. Muireann, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
To start with, say, the example of STEM subjects, and we hear an awful lot about encouraging women and girls to get involved in STEM. Is there which is fine, but is there a problem, if you like, further down the line of how many of them stay in those fields?
Yeah, that's what the evidence seems to be telling us. So first of all, within STEM fields, it's pretty much it's girls kind of go into science fields at the same kind of rate as boys. It's more that within the sciences, boys tend to choose the technology, the engineering, the mathematics subjects, and girls are more likely to choose biology, chemistry, that kind of thing. But the big discrepancy shows up afterwards. So women are far more likely to leave the STEM field than men. So about 15 years after, the disparity has grown by 20 percentage points. And then something else very interesting, even amongst men and women who leave STEM fields, women are more likely to go into something like teaching, whereas men are more likely to go into something like management. So women tend to leave STEM fields for a lower paid sector, whereas men tend to leave for a higher paid sector. So it means that gender disparity within STEM gets worse after 20 years, and also the income gap between STEM graduates gets worse.
Mm. And as now, that's research. Given what happens to males and females, does it provide any explanation as to why that is?
So that research, no, because that's just kind of looking at administrative data. But there's other research that finds, we know that there have been all sorts of gender equality initiatives for a long time now. We have them in Ireland, we have them elsewhere. In Ireland, for example, there's specific professorships in science or in technology for women. But what the data show, interestingly, is things like gender quotas on board levels, which have happened a lot, and there's been a lot of research done on them, they really seem to have very few, if any, spillover effects. So the idea is that if you have more women on the board, then that will lead to more women being appointed to senior management, and that will lead to just more women through the chain altogether. That just, there's like a meta-analysis has been done that finds very few, if any, spillover effects from board quotas. However, there is other research, now not as much because less companies have tried this, but there is other research to suggest that if instead you try to equalize parental leave between men and women, then that does an awful lot more to address gender gaps. Mm. So what that means is basically, at the moment, we have what's called the motherhood penalty, which is where women are more likely to take time off work to be with their small children when they're young. However, if you were to get more men to also take time off work when children are born, then that gets rid of the motherhood penalty. It becomes a parenthood penalty, if you like. But that would do so much more, I think. And it's worth trying, at least.
Yeah. Would it be unfair to say that the concentration on putting more women on boards, that's your kind of quick fix? It looks good. Solution rather than anything that makes any profound change.
Yeah, that seems to be the case. And one of the things that really frustrates me, and you know, the reason I wrote this article was actually because I'd been having conversations with women and men on this topic for years. And a lot of these initiatives come or are spearheaded by people from outside of these fields. And they're very, very well-meaning. But if you're just looking in from the outside and saying, wow, we've only got 20% women, 30% women, that's really bad. We should do something about that. And if what you decide to do is just, let's just have a quota, let's just have a target, then from the outside, you get to say, hey, look, we've got more women this year than we did last year, or we've got more women this decade than we did last decade. But within those fields themselves, is it actually addressing the underlying reasons why women are less likely to be in those fields or more likely to leave those fields? Like flexible working, part-time working, that is what can really move the needle, because we know from the data that mothers are more likely to desire part-time work than fathers. And so if your field is set up to facilitate remote and flexible and part-time work, you will attract more mothers. But if you refuse to do that, if you're kind of insisting, no, everyone needs to be in the office. Everyone needs to be 9 to 5. Everyone needs to work 5 days a week. Then you're going to screen out mothers. And it really doesn't matter how many quotas you have. You will be screening out people who want a better work-life balance.
Is there also perhaps a challenge, a cultural challenge, and I mean the culture within workplaces, that men perhaps still feel that they can't apply for increased parental leave because, you know, they'll lose out because men don't do that? No one says it out loud anymore, but it's still there.
Yeah, so we don't. What the data show us is that uptake of paternity leave, which is 2 weeks, Sean, uptake of paternity leave is 50%. Maternity leave is 26 weeks, and uptake is way higher than 50%. And then when it comes to parents' leave, which is paid at a statutory minimum, about 2/3 of mothers take that up and only 1/3 of fathers. So what that seems to be telling us is that there is a barrier there, obviously, for men to take even 2 weeks of leave. Now, we don't know what that barrier is. All we can do is look at the administrative data and say who did and didn't take up this leave. Certainly from speaking to people, a lot of men seem to say, oh, it's the culture. If I ask for leave, they just say no. And I often say back, well, it's a legal entitlement. They simply cannot say no. You are entitled to 2 weeks of paternity leave and you are entitled to 9 weeks of parents' leave. A lot of the time this is news to people. They're just saying, oh, my employer just wouldn't let me. And it's like, well, your employer can't stop you. You're legally entitled to this. Now, you may choose not to take it because they might give you a hard time because of all sorts of reasons, but it is an entitlement.
Mm, yeah, no, but I suppose what they're worried about is as kind of they'll get the mother penalty.
Yeah, for sure. But I mean, women have been taking that penalty on the chin for decades. We've been in the workplace for a very long time, but we understand and we recognize that we have to make sacrifices in order to have a proper work-life balance. And we are not willing to let our families always be the ones to make the sacrifice. Mm. And I totally understand that there are cultural norms and that kind of thing. I wish we could do more research on them. I wish we could do more research on how to fix them that actually address the barriers that women and men face in this regard. The data are quite clear that when you do address those barriers or when you do address those gender gaps and things like parents leave, it does make a difference in the headline metrics that we all care about. But the problem is, it's not as easy as a sticking plaster. It's not as easy as we'll just have a target, we'll just have a quota, we'll just have dedicated appointments, whatever. This requires employers to actually do something costly. This requires an awful lot more thinking outside the box, an awful lot more cultural shifting as opposed to just quotas and targets.
Yeah. By the same token as well, you know, at secondary school level where girls are, you know, if a girl is very bright, she's being encouraged to do STEM subjects. Should she be? Because, you know, obviously she's bright enough to make up her own mind what she wants to do with her life.
Yeah. So one of the things that's very interesting in the data is that it's certainly true that you get higher scores in the likes of maths and physics for boys versus girls. However, one thing that's, I think, at least if not more relevant is that amongst girls that score very highly in the likes of maths, they tend to score highly in everything. So they tend to have higher scores in English. They tend to have higher Leaving Cert points across the board. So if you're a boy who's very good at maths and physics, it's more likely that that is your kind of your niche. Whereas if you're a girl who's very good at maths and physics, it's more likely that you are quite well-rounded. So that means that girls who could excel in these kind of scientific and technological fields, they'd have more options available to them than boys who could excel in those same fields. So I think we have to be very careful in kind of interrogating the kind of choices that girls make and the kind of choices that, you know, someone in a suit somewhere or someone in an office somewhere might like girls. I think certainly there is, you know, obviously things like confidence play into it. You know, I'm a maths graduate myself. I was very unconfident even going into maths. I didn't go into maths originally. I kind of did a year of science and then switched into maths. It was really hard for me to have the confidence in myself to take on that degree. I remember at one point in sixth year, I said to my dad, I think I'm going to pop down to pass maths. And he laughed at me. He honestly thought I was joking. And then I went on to do maths in college. Huh. So I'm not saying that things like confidence aren't a factor. But the problem is if we simplistically assume it's all about confidence, it's obviously that these girls just don't have the confidence to do maths. And therefore, we just need to go and kind of cheer and say, do maths. Maths is cool. It's very simplistic and it's not informed by the data. It's not actually interrogating why women don't go into or stay in these fields.
We're in lunch. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.